Welcome to the Bidwell Presbyterian Church Podcast. The church is located next to California State University, Chico. For updates on services, congregational care, and community outreach, please visit our website at bidwellpres.org. The following Serve Chico sermon, Our Work Is Not in Vain, was given by Pastor Greg Cuzzona on Sunday, April 14, 2024. May you experience God's grace and joy on the journey.
Now we have the opportunity to hear from Scripture, and it's really a message to help send us out into this world, whether we serve today with Serve Chico, or we serve during this week, or we serve in whatever way God gives us opportunity to serve. The message is called, Our Work Is Not in Vain. Our work is not in vain. It comes from the first letter of the Corinthians chapter 15, the letter that Paul wrote at the very end of that letter. So let's ask that God would bless this message and would empower us to serve in whatever way God has for us today and this week. Would you pray with me? Our God, we thank you that you are present, that by the resurrection of Christ, you have given us your Spirit, so that what we do in this present world matters and connects deeply with what you will fulfill in the new heaven and the new earth. You've told us, Jesus, that you came not to be served, but to serve, and we follow in our lives in that service and in the power of your resurrection. So help me to proclaim your truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that we may be transformed, that the truth will make us free to serve, in Christ's name. Amen. So once again, the title of the message is Our Work Is Not in Vain, and it comes again from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. This is a briefer message than usual. It's kind of a sermonette, you might say. And some preachers don't like giving sermonettes. They say sermonettes make Christianettes, but let's hope that's not the case, right? Because what we're going to do is live out the sermon, whether, again, we do it today at Serve Chico on Sunday or we go out and serve. And here's the question that I've been working with these past couple weeks. I had a class where we particularly looked at this question. How do you bring together two things? One, the proclamation that Christ is risen. Amen. And that's what we do for all these weeks following Easter, what we call Eastertide. And then the second thing is that today we focus on serving. How do we connect those two? Easter and the power of the resurrection and service. How do they come together? I think they come together very powerfully. So in this class, over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at, on Wednesday nights, what the New Testament says about living in light of Jesus' resurrection. And we had at least three things that we took away from this, three insights. The first is that the role of the church is in witnessing to the hope of the resurrection in a world of despair. And that comes right out of the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Going, therefore, make disciples. Lead people, guide people into this world, this movement of Jesus, the living and reigning Lord. We give hope, the hope of the resurrection. That's the first thing. The second is that we wait not for an ethereal heaven, if we think of heaven in this ethereal way, but for a renewed creation, a new heaven and a new earth. That comes from Revelation chapter 21. We as believers, in fact, have the first fruits of this new creation as the resurrection has taken root in our lives, as we confess Christ as Lord. And so, according to Romans 8, especially verses 18 through 25, we wait with eager expectation for the full revealing of us as the children of God. And not only we wait for that, But here's the secret. All of creation waits for this new creation to burst forward. It's what biblical scholars like Ray and Henry, kind of like that, I don't know why. They are biblical scholars, but I thought that was a good moment there. Anyway, what biblical scholars like Ray and Henry tell us is the now and the not yet. Isn't that what we talk about, right? It's like we have the now, this down payment. Ray's going, that was me who said that, actually. The now, and that's going to be in fullness in the age to come, the time to come. Now, I heard a little parable of how this looks, this first fruits, this first taste. It was from a preacher I really like named Charlie Dates, and he was saying that first taste is like, remember when your parent, your mother, your father was baking a cake, and you were young, right? And you didn't want to wait for that cake to be fully baked. So what did you do? You took that spoon, you went into the batter, right? You tasted it, and it tasted good. Len has a few of those experiences, apparently. But you know, it's not the full cake, right? The full cake is with the icing and the decorations and that wonderful connection between icing and cake itself that makes a cake a real cake. It's just an image, of course, of we have that first taste, that first spoonful, but God is going to bring this in fullness, and all the work we do is going to be fulfilled. That was the second thing we learned. The third thing is where I'm going to camp out today. That because of the resurrection, our labor is not in vain. So I want to pull up on the screen 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. And if you know this letter, what was happening was this was one of the early Christian communities, and it was primarily Gentile, meaning non-Jewish. So it's a long letter because Paul has to teach the Gentiles the great traditions that we learn as Christians from the Jewish community. And one of those is the promise of resurrection and a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 50. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood, the naturally born creation that we are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Look, I tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable natural body must put on the spirit-infused body, imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when this perishable body puts on the imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. On the screen, you'll see the New Revised Standard. I want to read a paraphrase from the Message. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that made sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And now I go back to verse 58 in the New Revised Standard, which is on the screen. Anytime you see a therefore, this is really important. And this is the most important verse for today. Paul doesn't say, wow, let's have a party because we're all going to go and have eternal life. Wow, that is a party worth having. But instead he says, like we're saying today on Serve Chico, in light of the resurrection, therefore, get to work. And your work is totally transformed. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor, you can say it with me, is not in vain. And you know what Paul's referring to? Genesis 3, where the laborer in the Garden of Eden was cursed. There were thorns. There was the sweat of the brow. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that all of our life has a certain vanity or emptiness to it. And the promise of resurrection, yes, which we can celebrate, is that there's a God who will give us everlasting life. I hope Easter still resonates, the Easter Sunday still resonates in our head. But it also, the message of the risen Christ is that vanity of work, that curse of work is gone. I'm going to let three New Testament scholars help us out here. The first comes from N.T. Wright, whom you hear from often. It's from his commentary on 1 Corinthians. I'm going to start with part of it. It is true that God is going to transform this present world and renew our whole selves, bodies included. If that's true, then what we do in this present time with our bodies and with our world matters. And for too long, he says, Christians have separated our life on earth from what's to come. It is a matter of greatest encouragement to Christian workers as we seek to serve. I added that. Christian workers, most of whom are away from the public eye, unsung heroes and heroines, getting on faithfully and quietly with their God-given tasks, that what they do in the Lord during this present time will last, will matter, will stand for all time. And now I believe we have the rest of the quote up on a slide. How God will take our prayer, our art, our love, our writing, our political action, our serving for Serve Chico. I can't believe Wright put that actually in his text. That's amazing. Our music, our honesty, our daily work, our pastoral care, our teaching, our whole selves. How God will take this and weave it. I love this. Now he's getting into a little bit of like poetry. How God will weave its varied strands into the glorious tapestry of the new creation. We can at present have no idea. That God will do so as part of the truth of the resurrection. Yeah. Part of the truth of the resurrection. And perhaps one of the most comforting parts of all. So I'm reminded of a story I've told before about Linda Wilson Allen, who is a bus driver, a Muni bus driver in San Francisco. And she says, my bus is a sanctuary. When you step up into the bus, you're stepping into holy space. You see, this transforms not just this, what we do here, as powerful as it is, but serving the people around us and serving in our everyday life. And so, Linda Wilson Allen is so favored by the people who are served by her that they'll let other buses pass by so that they can wait for her bus. Because at one point, there was a woman who was in her 80s who had extra bags and couldn't quite make it on the bus. And so Linda Wilson Allen stepped down and got her bags and brought them up as an act of service because of her faith. You see, this message of resurrection transforms everything we do. I don't know if you do this kind of thing, but whenever I'm at Chico State, I pray, God, fill this classroom, fill this office with the presence of the kingdom and the risen Christ in what I am doing today. So whatever we do, whether we're able to serve today, we do it in light of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what's so powerful about this? And I'm now going to draw on my other two New Testament scholars who together wrote on this passage, Eugene Boring and Fred Craddock. They tell us that, you know, at the end of the day, we don't really get a picture exactly of what this new life is going to be. But here's what they say. Readers of this passage are asked not to believe a concept of what happens when we die. Not some concept. Some nailed down theology. As much as I love systematic theology, it's not that. But Paul ends here to trust God in grateful praise. The God who raised Jesus from the dead. So may the risen Christ accompany us today as we serve, or this week if we do our Serve Chico projects this week or later, or however we go out from this room, this spirit of service, this guideline of service, let it be with the risen Christ. And let us recognize that our labor, because of Christ's presence, is never in vain. Amen. Join your hearts with me. Our God, we thank you for the power of the message of 1 Corinthians 15, that it is a good truth that you accompany us as the risen Christ. And so I pray today, however we serve, however we show and demonstrate your risen and reigning power of the resurrection in us, that our service would be in light of that resurrecting power, resurrection power, and that we would be convinced and comforted by your presence and know that our labor is not in vain. Amen. Amen.